The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He doing nothing but running his mouth. Bunch of hardos making anti-fun rules. That was our conversation yesterday. And one of our fearless leaders, Brian D. Told us that there was sound from one Craig Council from several years ago, also making a rule, or a ruling, if you will, about how old one should be to bring a glove to the stadium. And he said 14 years old, Gabe. How do you feel that you and Craig Council are basically, you know, in the same space?
Well, he's a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. You know, we can reach across the aisle from time to time to agree what's best for the game.
And that's where the similarities end. Just kidding. Lots of people not happy with Craig Council, obviously, so I didn't know if you were going to agree with him or disagree just in principle, or out of principle, rather.
No, he's 100% right on this. You got two gloves that the Lord gave you. Use those as your mitt.
Somebody asked us on social media yesterday, though, if baseball players at the highest level are allowed to use a glove to catch, why can't, you know...
Because you're not on the field making outs.
Correct.
No, if you're making out, you're in the car. No.
Depends.
Took me a second. I guess I get it.
Depends.
I guess I get it. Joshy has the audio of Craig Council making the ruling on who should be able to bring a glove to the game.
I still like seeing kids bring their gloves to the yard. I mean, that was a staple when we were kids. You always brought your glove to County Stadium in case you needed to make that catch on a foul or whatever.
Is there an age limit on that, though? This is a big debate. I'm curious Craig's opinion. Is there an age limit on bringing the glove to the ballpark?
You like to see grown man with his ball glove.
35, bring them in. I don't know.
I think there should be an age limit, yes. I'm in favor of a national age limit on bringing glove to the park, yes.
As long as we're changing rules in MLB, might as well throw that in.
Set the decree right now, Craig. It's up to you. Set the law. What's the age that you can't bring the glove to AmFam Field anymore? It's on you.
I'm gonna go 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
wow,
it.
14. Yeah, then, you're in high school by then, right? Yeah.
And if you're 15 and you happen to get a ball, does it have to go to a kid younger?
Yes. Yeah, then you pass it on to a kid, yes.
Again, there it is. Craig Council, public enemy number one, giving the ruling, 14 years old. Now I think everyone should bring a glove to the games when the Brewers host the Cubs in a few weeks, no, right?
I still respect myself.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Everyone should bring a glove in protest.
Maybe
Craig
put
Council
on a diaper, too. And go
I'm not sure how that affects Craig Council. It sounds more like a fetish thing.
No, I'm just calling people babies.
All right. Let's talk about the baseball game last night. Willy Adames, who I contend is my favorite person in Milwaukee right now, and that is over Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I know that might be blasphemy in some circles, but I really, really like Willy Adames. And it doesn't hurt that last night, with the Brewers chasing in the ninth inning, Willy Adames stepped up, not only hit the game winner, right? Game-winning home run. Obviously, the home team did get to bat, obviously, in the bottom half. But called his shot Babe Ruth style. So we have the audio, right, Joshy, of him. We have the audio of him talking to the fans beforehand, right? No.
No.
We
no. Talking after
him
the game.
Talking after the game. No, but we have the highlight. So let's play the highlight of Willy Adames' go-ahead three-run home run last night in the ninth versus Kansas City.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball hammered out to left. Back goes Hampson at the track. Wall! Gone! Willy Adames flips this game on its head. The Brewers take a 6-5 lead in the ninth. It had to be Willy Adames. His seventh home run of the season. And oh, is it a big one here at Kauffman Stadium. 6-5 Milwaukee.
I believe Willy Adames also made the final out of the game to send Kansas City home with a loss. After the game, Willie revealed that he had been talking to, not really jawing, I think it was all playful banter, with a few fans, Kansas City fans, in the front row who had what? Dared him or encouraged him or asked him, essentially, to hit the home run? What was your understanding of that exchange, Gabe?
Well, why don't we just hear Willie talk about what the exchange was.
Billy Murph said that you called your shot there, kind of. You were jawing with some fans. Can you kind of break down what happened there?
Oh, yeah. No. You know, we were talking the whole game. They were talking. They were being friendly and, you know, I was just having a good time with them. And they were like, oh, we want Willie. And I went close to them. And I was like, are you sure you want me? And they were like, yeah, we want you to hit a three-run homer. And I was like, I bet. I'm like, let me do it. If Gary take a wall, I'm going. And then I hit it, and I was like, oh, my God, that was the coolest thing I ever done, like, I ever experienced in my life. And, you know, we had a good time. Then I signed a couple balls for them, and, you know, we had a great time.
It sounds like, I mean, sometimes that can be nasty, the interactions. This one sounds like it's
yeah, no. Yeah, sometimes, you know, fans, they could be very hard. But, you know, these guys here, they were amazing, you know. They were having a good time. And obviously, you know, we were chatting there through, you know, my whole, like, all my at-bats, we were chatting.
Willie, their reaction, I mean, they were, like, cheering. They were fired up for you.
Oh, yeah,
and they're
yeah.
Royals fans.
Oh, no, they told me they want me to hit a three-run homer. They say that would be the best. And I was like, I bet. I got you. I got you. And then they were, you know, they were. I think that it was, for me, too, it was just a great experience. Obviously, you know, you don't really get that a lot.
So to me, this is putting the experience above your fandom, right? Like the experience of not only interacting with Willie Adames, a player on the opposing team throughout the game, but also being a part of contributing to what ended up taking place. So they had said to him, like, you know, we want you. And he's like, you don't want me up there. So they felt some sort of ownership of kind of what transpired. To me, that's saying the experience at that game, who cares? It's one of, you know, 160 plus, whatever. That experience is always going to be more memorable than what the outcome of the game was, Gabe.
That's something that only happens in baseball. Because it happens during no-hitters, too. Like, when a guy is throwing a no-hitter and he's on the road and he gets to the ninth inning, it seems like everybody in the ballpark, whoo, I get to see history. I get to see a no-hitter if this guy gets the three outs. My team be unless this happens, like, in the last right. week of the season, right?
And because, the game actually matters.
And the game matters in the standings. But this is something that only happens in baseball because there's 162 games, right? Like, I think this is a baseball exclusive thing because I cannot imagine somebody sitting behind the Bears bench at Lambeau Field and going, yeah, Caleb, we want you to go lead a game-winning drive. That's not happening anytime soon. It's not happening ever. But here, because it's 101-62, you get to have that cool interaction. That's something that these two fans are going to have forever. They're going to have that baseball. Willie Adames isn't an all-time great, but they're going to have that baseball at home, on their desk, wherever they decide to keep it, and have the memory of, oh, man, yeah. We were John with Willie, and then we turned this thing around. He hit this three-run homer. It was really cool.
Yeah, they have video and pictures of it. When Max Scherzer was with the Nationals, he took a perfect game really late, and Carlos Gomez hit a broken bat single. And Carlos Gomez apologized to him, and the entirety of AmFam Field gave him a standing ovation because at that point, it's like, well, the Brewers are going to lose, so at least I get to see somebody performing at the utmost level of excellence.
So I guess my question to you, Gabe, is I know you mentioned the Caleb Williams thing, and obviously there's different variables with the Bears versus Packers and just the intensity of that situation. But if you saw an opponent do something like a 105-yard return in a game, would you be jazzed about that? Because
no.
It makes history.
Nope.
It's never...
Nope.
See, I feel like
nope.
Anytime something makes history, there's a element of I was there to be able to have that memory. So, like, I understand what you're saying about the NFL. There's only 17 games. Every possession matters so much more than every, you know, at-bat in baseball, for comparison's sake. But I do think that people, generally speaking, put their own experience above the outcome.
I feel that's only a baseball thing. I feel that only happens in baseball.
Are you telling me that if the Bucks are hosting the Lakers and LeBron is putting up, he's having a historic game, and in the fourth quarter, he's closing in on, I don't even know what LeBron's career record is, but let's just throw a number out there. Like, he's closing in on 65 points. Are you telling me you're not hoping that LeBron scores 65 at Fiserv Forum and you can say that you were there?
No.
Really?
Because again, even that's like, oh, for LeBron's career high, maybe if LeBron's got 90 points, am I rooting for him to get to 100? Yes, at that point, I would root for 100 points.
So he can take the picture afterwards.
Correct.
With a little white piece of paper.
Correct. Like, if he's going to match Wilt's record, yes, I will root there. Guys score 65 points all the time in basketball games. We saw Giannis do it earlier this year. That was cool. But no,
now I have to look up what LeBron James' career high is. Continue your point.
Well, but even like, because Kobe scored 81, which is like the most since the 100-point game. Okay, cool.
61 is LeBron's career high.
It's the second most of all time. It's not the most of all time, right? And there's just something about the no-hitter. There's something about the perfect game. There's something about those things that are pretty special.
I think it extends beyond baseball, but I think you and I are in agreement that human nature is, okay, I can convince myself that the outcome of this game doesn't matter because I got to see something really, really cool, really unique that you don't see every day.
Wait, so if Brett Favre, let's go back in the time machine, you're at that playoff game against the Rams and he's got the 6 picks. I don't know what the NFL record is for interceptions in a game.
No,
am I rooting
that.
For that?
No, but again, I'm talking about the other team doing something historic that maybe.
But that's the
to...
same thing, though.
So again, if you want to take football out of the mix,
correct.
Because you're like, there's just too few games,
correct.
And the possessions matter too much, and the difference between a win and a loss in this one is the difference in the standings and the potential to go to the playoffs. I get it, but go to the NBA, to these leagues that have more games where. You've mentioned that the regular season doesn't matter in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in the stands or at Fiserv Forum. Are you telling me that if somebody on the other team is en route to a historic night, one that they will be talking about on every single morning show throughout the country the next day, there's not a part of you that's like, kind of want it to happen so I can say I was there?
Yeah, it's got
to
be 100. Somebody going for 101 points. Somebody's so going for 31 assists. Like, if it's going to be historic, let's actually make it historic. I don't care if you score 65. There's a long list of dudes who've done 65. There's a bunch of guys that have 20 assists. No, you got to break Skiles' record. You got to break Wilt's record. You got to be doing something like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do this.
Jared weighing in saying, even in baseball, rivalries matter. Would you be okay seeing a Cubs player throw a perfect game against the Brewers?
It wasn't against the Brewers, but there were plenty of Milwaukee fans that were at AmFam Field when Zambrano threw the no-hitter.
Well, famously Miller Park back then, but yes, when they were displaced for the weather.
Yeah, I mean, maybe these people are better than me. I don't think I ever end up in a situation where I'm like talking to Willie Adames and saying, yeah, hit a home run here. That'd be really cool.
Hit a dinger for me.
I think they were trying to use reverse psychology, don't you? I think there was probably a little reverse psychology going on there.
I think they were just friendly guys.
I think they just got friendly at the end. Like, they enjoyed their interactions. Here's the thing. You mentioned how Willie's your favorite athlete. Yeah. I think they started this interaction in the first inning with, oh, we're going to chirp at Willie. By the end, he won him over to the point where they were rooting
for
him to hit a three-run dinger.
That is exactly what happened. Thank you for shouting out the elephant in the room with which is, this doesn't happen with anybody except Willie Adames. There are very few players that have the charisma that he has, the energy, right? He's the guy that walks in the room and you're like, oh, that guy is somebody I want to be around, right? He's magnetic. They said that when he came to the Brewers, mm-hmm. right? That was the big story of like, you guys are going to love this guy. And here we are several seasons later and everybody loves him. So I think you're right. I think that's more what it was. It was like, the guy was in the opponent's jersey at the beginning of the game. By the end of the game, he was a friend and they were rooting for him.
They're getting Willie Adames jerseys now. Yeah. I mean, maybe wait till next year after, you know, Nike fixes everything.
Right, exactly.
To get that Adames jersey.
Don't buy the jersey this year if you haven't already.
I've had the privilege of sitting in similar seats at AmFam Field, and you can hear people saying stuff to players all the time, and hardly ever do they turn around. There's been a couple guys who are known to be fun guys, but hardly ever do they actually engage with those people and engage to the point where now they're rooting for you to beat their team that they're there wearing their jerseys and paying tickets to go watch.
I'm trying to think of the name of the player because this just dawned on me. When we were sitting out, it was in college, we were sitting out in the outfield and my college roommate was just heckling. Well, I think it was an outfielder for the Reds. I'll text him to see if he remembers who it was. And then the guy finally had enough. Just turned around and did the grab his groin thing at you. That was what he decided was going to somehow better the situation.
Yeah.
Is that my friend got so far under his skin that that's what he decided to do.
I've seen it happen in the outfield where, because I mean, things get pretty crazy out there. It's the bleachers where they have the outfielder for the opponent laughing because they're being so funny, like going after them. There used to be guys at Miller Park back in the day who would like bring full stat books and read off the stats and the bad ones and the family history and like everything about these people, like some guys in the bullpen or whoever was in left field at the time. Like, there is that unique interaction where baseball can be really quiet. So if you yell, the person closest to you is for sure going to hear it.
Is there anybody more likable in Milwaukee sports right now than Willy Adames?
Yeah, it's still Giannis.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not particularly close. It's not particularly close,
I don't think that people are frustrated with Giannis specifically.
Yeah.
But I think there is a frustration right now with the Milwaukee Bucks. And by extension, then Giannis is kind of being grouped into that. I'm not saying people are mad at Giannis. I'm saying people are like, I don't want to talk about you right now.
I mean, sure. But if we were to put it on a poll, I mean, Giannis is running away with it. Like, not close.
Is this where I need to employ the Chewy rule of if Willy Adames gets 14%, it's considered a victory?
I mean, that's not a victory. That's not even, that's, if the question is there anyone more likable and he gets 14% compared to Giannis, then no, you cannot consider that a victory.
No, not at all.
I don't think so. I don't think that passes. Giannis's history is just too long and storied, like, and on social media where I don't follow Willy Adames on anything, but Giannis has posted some wild stuff on his Instagram account.
Go watch. First of all, I did see a photo of Giannis at Barnacle Buds this last weekend.
What?
Yeah, he was just hanging out at B-Buds. Wow. Just like, yeah.
Love
like,
that spot.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, Giannis is one of us. Like, go watch. If this is how you're feeling right now, Jen, just go watch Giannis, The Incredible Journey. And then report back to me tomorrow.
Well, I like sitting in this space where I like Willy Adames. It's in baseball season now. We have turned the page on the Buck season, even though that's begrudgingly. And I feel like right now it's a great time to wrap your arms around this Brewers team, even if it's just Willy Adames.
I love Willy. Love Willy. I'm not telling you not to like Willy. I'm just telling you, you know, let's not get hyperbolic here.
I guess I'm alone in this. Is that what we're realizing? Is there anyone else out there who is feeling like I'm feeling, which is Willy Adames is my favorite Milwaukee sports person right now? Willy Adames is my favorite Milwaukee sports person right now.
I mean, he's not even...
Like, I think if Giannis was putting up 50 burgers in the playoffs right now, I don't know if you'd have
100%. I totally agree, but those aren't the circumstances we're working with.
Prisoner of the moment, we're just embracing it.
Right now, Willy Adames is my favorite Milwaukee sports person.
Here's the other problem. If Bob Uecker would have called the home run, then Bob Uecker might have been your favorite.
Really good point.
Bob's not doing the traveling right now.
We don't even put Bob Uecker on lists anymore where it's like favorite Milwaukee sports
personality.
Because
he just runs away with
it. It's like, it's not even fair.
One of them.
Exactly. Put that on the poll. Right now, who's your favorite Milwaukee sports? Is it Bob Uecker? Because I think Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker
gives. Uecker always gets left off because he just runs away with it.
He would give Giannis a run for his money, though, wouldn't he? If you had to pick right now between Bob Uecker and Giannis, I think that's a better poll than Willy Adames.
See how quickly you've changed?
It was your idea.
You threw Bob Uecker out there.
This was your poll.
Here's the reality. I've been watching the games on television as opposed to listening to the games on the radio. If I started swapping, listening again, then Uecker would go right to the top of my power rankings. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But first, at GMB, applying for a loan is as simple as a few clicks with their online mortgage portal. So if you are purchasing a new home and it feels a little daunting, don't fret. My friends at Great Midwest Bank say it does not have to be. The loan officers at Great Midwest Bank take the stress out of the process by taking the time to get to know you and understand your needs. That way, you can have the best mortgage process possible. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to learn more today. That's greatmidwestbank.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Yeah, question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You guys have heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. They have helped us out tremendously. Let's see. We had the woodpecker incident where the woodpecker was putting holes in our siding. We had the balcony incident where our balcony was leaking water into our kitchen. And of course, they finished our basement for us. The folks over at PCI know what they are doing. That's why we recommend them so highly for your next remodeling project, your home addition, or maybe you're thinking about building a new home. I talked to Michelle yesterday. I told her I heard their new commercial on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, where they say that their family is expanding, and Mike gets all nervous because he's like, we sold all of our baby stuff. And Michelle's like, not us, our team. They need construction crews. If you are somebody who can is a carpenter and can lead a crew, you need to contact them at professionalconstructioninc.com. Let them know that you are interested. They are a great family-owned company to work for. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your project. Reach out to my friends over at PCI, professionalconstructioninc.com, professionalconstructioninc.com. I have a feeling Sophia Minner might be on my side as far as Willy Adames being the most likable guy in Milwaukee right now outside of Bob Uecker. Because Bob Uecker wins all of those polls if you put Bob Uecker on the poll. Deservedly so. I'm not saying Bob Uecker shouldn't win the polls. I'm simply saying that Willy Adames yesterday, hitting the game winner obviously is a big part of it. But there's just something about his personality that is so freaking likable. I think he might not be beating Giannis. I'm willing to admit that. But he's making a charge.
Is
he's
he?
Coming on.
Have you looked at the poll results so far?
I have not.
Look like he's making a dent.
I prefer to remain ignorant.
Okay. All right.
To what is being done on the polls right now. So okay. Sophia Minard is going to join Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in just a moment. We'll talk all things Brewers and see if she's ever seen anything like we saw last night at the ballpark, opposing fans, encouraging Willy Adames to hit the game winner, and then he hits the game winner, and he's giving them baseballs, and they're yucking it up. We'll talk to Sophia right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
Look, this team, they will find a lot of ways to surprise you. And I think the fact of like how they got here, how they won so many games.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
I guess what lead feels safe to you as the Brewers wrap up the final month-ish of the year?
Clinched feels safe.
Yeah, at least 7 with 6 to play, something like that.
Yeah.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town.
We love chatting with Sophia Minner each and every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Sophia. How are you doing after last night's drama?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Definitely one of the more memorable moments of the season.
And we were trying to figure out how often something like that happens, where opposing fans are encouraging a guy to go yard in his final likely at-bat. Gabe was convinced that this is a Willy Adames thing, right? This only happens because Willy Adames is who he is. He's incredibly likable. He's incredibly personable. And by the end of the game, he had basically just won those guys over.
You know, I had kind of thought the same thing. Like, I'm like, this is just who Willy is. He is just like so likable, so much energy. He chats with virtually every human on the field. He's always chatting with the umpires. He's chatting with the opposing team, fans. It's like that part was not surprising. And then when we talked to Reese Hoskins after the game, he said that those fans were kind of chirping at everybody. So it didn't feel like it was exclusively with Willie, but definitely not surprising that Willie could win over an opposing fan base.
As impressive as that home run was, I'm also really impressed with Trevor Megill and the way he just mowed everybody down in the ninth inning. He just came in. He was super efficient. I know it's kind of been closer by committee, but what are the chances that Megill has the ninth inning for the long term?
Well, I thought you were going to say you were impressed that he caught Willie's homer as he was getting ready for that ninth inning.
That was also impressive.
That's where I thought you were going with that. Trevor was just like right place, right time. He was getting ready for the ninth just in case. And lucky for him, he got Willie's home run ball. So, that's what you want, right? You get a huge moment like that. I mean, just totally flips the game upside down. The Brewers, I mean, they had been down to their final strike in William Contreras' at bat. So William gets on with the double. Then Gary Sanchez works the walk, and then that set up the chance for Willie. So, I mean, there were multiple times there where you thought like, okay, this could be it. And then Trevor, I mean, to have as efficient of an inning as he did, it was like less than 15 pitches, I think. It gave them no chance to breathe and like no chance to even get anything going again, which is what you want your closer to do in that situation, right? Because it, a moment like that is so deflating to the other team, obviously to the fans that are there in the stadium. I think Trevor handled that really well, and he has gotten save opportunities, to your point of like what is going to happen here moving forward. Especially without Abner Uribe now that he got optioned back to AAA, I think McGill would probably be a primary option. Yoel Piamps could still be a great option. And honestly, depending on matchups, it wouldn't surprise me if Murph went to any of the lefties at some point, though the way that Brian Hudson is pitching the ball.
Sophia, for those who haven't been following you on social media, give us an update on Christian Yelich. It's been about 3 weeks since he went out with the back injury, but it sounds like he's making progress.
He's making great progress. Yeah, the last 2 days have been the best he's had. He had been doing a lot on the field, but the last 2 days for him to finally get on the field and start taking BP, that was the final piece that was missing. So they could be making a decision as soon as today, if not tomorrow or Friday, when the team gets back to play St. Louis. So it's been longer definitely than what Christian was anticipating and longer than what the team was hoping for, but he's ready. And so it's just a matter of when we'll get him in there, and I anticipate he'll be DHing quite a bit to start.
A lot has been made throughout the course of this season, and Nike has now come out and said that they're going to fix the issue. It's not going to be completely fixed till next year. Have the Brewers noticed? Have they said anything kind of behind the scenes about the uniforms this year?
Yeah, I think it's spring training, honestly. It was more of a story of like when everyone was just getting to camp and getting kind of their hands on everything and wearing everything and seeing how it all felt. Nothing has changed since spring training. So I think they'll tell you that just, you know, the material is definitely different than what they've used in the past. I think they tried to make it more breathable, but for the players, it feels a little bit more flimsy, with like that dry fit technology. And, you know, I mean, if you're a heavy sweater, like some of these guys are, as we get deeper into summer, that could be an issue. We've definitely seen some of the pants rip. I think some of them don't like the fit of the pants. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Some of these things are very subjective too, right? Like players are, some players are more particular about their fit of their jerseys and their uniform than others. So Nike did bring in, I'm blanking on the word. Basically, they brought in people to sort of try to fit the jerseys better to the players, especially some of the established players. So they did leave some room for, like, some individual tweaking there. But I think, you know, overall, I think people are in agreement that there's room for improvement there.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest areas where they kind of seem to cut costs or cut corners. It used to be fully customizable. You know, if you wanted your left sleeve to be a quarter inch longer Shooter McGavin style than the other side, they would acquiesce. They would do that. And then this year was the first year where they were like, no, it's like,
here's your large.
Right.
Here's your extra large.
You get a tall and you get a venti. And you know what I mean? Like, they were not making those, like, those very specific changes for guys' uniforms. And I think that kind of irritated a lot of people. They were like, no, part of it is
this
that
is the major leagues.
Correct. Like, I have, and especially because that had been established. So I am very interested to see how quickly they are able to get this all rectified and get it back to the standard that we have come to expect from Major League Baseball. Want to talk about the guy who will be on the hill today. Is it Joe Ross? Is Joe Ross getting the start from Milwaukee?
He is, yeah.
And he's 0-3 in his past four starts. So what's been going on with him?
Yeah, he's an interesting arm for the Brewers because he's had two Tommy John surgeries. He had come up as a huge prospect, a former first-round draft pick. He had been with the Washington Nationals, so he was in that era of, like, Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and that group, which Brewers fans will remember from 2019. So he was, like, forced into a very competitive environment, and fans might remember his older brother, Tyson Ross, who pitched in the big leagues for a long time. I think his longest tenure was with the San Diego Padres. But Joe, this is really his first season in 2 years where he's been fully healthy. He has this kind of opportunity of being in the starting rotation. His stuff is really, really good. I mean, he's built up physically. He's a big, strong guy. The velocity for him has started to tick up where it's mid-90s again, where he wants to be. He's just figuring out command of kind of everything else. So it's a lot of, you know, sinker, slider, fastball. He has had issues with walks before. And honestly, just some tough luck. Like, I think through his first five starts, he had given up, I think, 16 hits. And only one of them was an extra base hit. So he's definitely a guy like a Colin Ray, like a Wade Miley, with how he pitches. He pitches to contact. And so there can be good and bad luck involved in that. He's been sort of on the bad side of the luck so far, it feels like. But he definitely has stuff that can overpower you at times. So I really think this is an arm that they really believe in. They need him because he's one of the three healthy starters that they're down to right now. So, yeah, I think I'm excited for him to take the ball today and see what he can do.
Are they kind of hoping to be fully healthy and maybe have that lineup, whether it's arms, whether it's Yelich, whether it's Mitchell, kind of by that next series against the Cubs is Memorial Day, or is it still going to be some time longer for, I mean, obviously Wade's out for the rest of the season because he needed Tommy John, but are they kind of expecting to be pretty much full health by the end of the month?
Well, definitely not with Garrett Mitchell. I mean, you should get Christian Yelich back here again within the next day, if not tomorrow. And then Garrett is still got a ways away because he's on the 60-day IL, and he's not doing any on-field activity yet. He's been doing kind of some one-arm swings in the cage. He's been doing a lot of conditioning and strengthening, but it's been a slower progression for him. And then for Devin Williams, I think you're still looking at the All-Star break for him. Jacob Junis is on the 60-day IL, so he's a bit behind. So when you say fully healthy, I think we've still got a ways to go. But I think, look, this team would absolutely love to get Christian Yelich back in the lineup because of what that does for everybody else at the top. And it just takes pressure off of everybody else at the bottom. So I think getting him back is like the biggest first step to getting back on the health front.
Last thing for you, Sophia, before we let you go. We started the show this morning talking about sneezing. I have an issue where I sneeze multiple times. Not one, not two, not three LeBron, but more like 12, 13, 14 times in a row. I think my record is 26. So yesterday, Dario and I are driving. Oh, my. Yes. Yesterday, Dario and I are driving home from lunch, and I'm having a sneezles attack. And he says, I know why you're sneezing so much. You're sneezing wrong. I'm like, hey, it's an involuntary action, but I don't know how you do it wrong. He said I was sneezing out of my mouth instead of my nose. When you sneeze, do you sneeze primarily out of your mouth or out of your nose?
Oh my gosh, I can't say I've ever thought about this.
This is why you come on the show, Sophia, so we can ask you the tough questions, the hard-hitting questions.
I know. I haven't even had coffee yet. I think out of my nose, right? You sneeze out because you cover your nose. You kind of cover your
mouth,
too.
What do you mean you cover your nose? You're telling me, growing up in your house, your parents told you after you sneezed, hey, Sophia, you should be covering your nose? No, they say cover your mouth.
Just for funsies, go ahead and show me what a cover your nose is. I know we can't see you. You're in your hotel room in Kansas City. But just for funsies, while you're on the phone with us, could you cover your nose and just tell me how ridiculous you feel?
I think I basically cover my nose and my mouth, honestly. You guys don't do that?
Well, I mean, it's more of the mouth, and yeah, I mean, the nose kind of gets some coverage, but, you know, you're using your wing. You're sneezing into your elbow.
True, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm covering both. Maybe I'm going double coverage.
Next time you sneeze, will you try to remember? Again, we recognize that this is one of those like involuntary. What was the word we used this morning that I didn't know? Spasmodic?
Spasmodic.
That was close. Wow. Spasmodic. It's a spasmodic activity, which means spaz. You know, you're not really controlling it. But next time, will you just take a moment and think of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and say, wait, hold on. Am I sneezing through my mouth or am I sneezing through my nose?
What is Dario's theory that you're doing it wrong by sneezing out of your
mouth? So he's saying that the reason I'm sneezing multiple times is because I'm not clearing whatever it is that is, you know, tickling my nose or tickling my nose hairs or whatever it is. And I'm not expelling it because I'm not sneezing through my nose. I'm only sneezing through my mouth.
Huh. Okay. All right.
But you can't. again, it's involuntary. I think the point is you can't do, like, it's kind of, it's coming out of both. Like, you can't just stop it coming out of your mouth or nose.
Gabe made a really good point this morning, Sophia.
How do you say achoo?
Yeah, that is the other part. The sound for a sneeze comes, you know, through your mouth.
Okay, but it seems like Dario's not buying it.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's saying, maybe she's a chewing through her nose.
You're doing it through both.
So Sophia is firmly in the both camp.
Yeah.
And can you tell she's getting frustrated with us too? She's like, these are idiots, absolute morons. Get me off of this call. Sophia, we will mercifully let you off of the call. Have a great game today. And then we will see you back at AmFam Field this weekend when the Brewers host the Cardinals for a Mother's Day weekend series.
All right. Well, I love you guys. I love being on this show because you make me think about things that I've never even thought about. So thank you. Thank you for that little brain twister here early this morning. But,
she said it like it was a compliment, Gabe.
I can't wait to get the text like 3 weeks from now.
I'm sneezing.
It's just either nose or mouth. It's just going to be one word, all caps. We know what Sophia is doing.
She's Sophia Minert. You can see her on Bally Sports Wisconsin. She will be on the broadcast today as the Brewers have the rubber match against Kansas City.
You know how much Chewy and I love the jewelry center. Usually when the big guy's here, he's talking about how he loves to go to the jewelry center to make his wife happy. I talk about the jewelry center and how they helped me out by helping me pick out what was the perfect engagement ring for me. They know what they're doing when it comes to those diamond engagement rings. The jewelry center offering great deals, selection with both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. So the jewelry center is going to have some great options because of the team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together over there at the jewelry center. Their helpful staff always going to point you in the right direction when it comes to those diamond engagement rings. And of course, you know they're going to have options. Stop in at one of their locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington. Check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com and make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Who's on first?
Gabe and I arguing about the clock right now. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. The hotel is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Book special hotel packages with room rates starting as low as $129 a night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. Okay. Todd weighing in saying, like Dario, I have told my wife she sneezes wrong as well. It's not your endless sneezes. It's like she's trying to keep them in. I always say, you don't know how to sneeze. It should be free-flowing, party popper-like. Party popper. Party pooper?
Popper. Because you know those things that you
pull the string.
Pull the string and poof.
Oh, that's what your sneeze should be like.
Correct.
Yeah, I do that. I'm not one of these. That's not my sneeze. I do a full. I don't want to do it in.
Yeah.
I do a full-fledged sneeze.
Oh, we've seen it.
Yeah, exactly. But again, there's multiple.
You're not holding back.
There's many, 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 many of them in a row, which led Dario to say, I know why you're sneezing so much. You're sneezing wrong. Murphy Masher's weighing in saying, for those of us with allergies and a good amount of nasal mucus, there's a fun combo of words for the morning radio, choosing to sneeze through the nose, especially in public, makes for a very, very messy situation. I aim a sneeze out of my mouth for the benefit of all people in my vicinity. Wow, that is talent. Because again, I have conditioned myself to believe that a sneeze is involuntary. right? Like, again, there are different levels. We just talked about the person who sneezes and tries to control them. You can certainly try to control the force and velocity of the sneeze, but for the most part, your body just does it.
I feel like that anytime I've tried to hold in a sneeze as it's coming, I feel like that ends up just hurting me. I feel like physical pain from trying to like hold it back because the force is trying to come out and I'm trying to fight it to keep it in.
Where
it's
does
just
it
not
hurt?
Bad.
Like in your chest? In
yeah,
your...
kind of chest, like your cheeks, like everything, uh-huh. Your neck a little bit.
Big time. We have a tweet here from, where can I find it? Brian, I just sneezed twice. First with my mouth open and it was great. Secondly, with my mouth closed and I sneezed and farted. I believe the mouth closed.
Well, it's scientific. That's the pressure's got to come out of somewhere, so might as well keep that mouth open when you're sneezing, people. That's the lesson to be learned here.
We did put it on the poll this morning. A sneeze mostly comes out of the mouth or the nose. 65% of people are saying it comes out of the mouth. 34% of people saying it comes out of mostly the nose.
34% of people are wrong.
I just cannot get down with the idea that I should be sneezing out of my nose. It's just, I can't.
Well, okay. Let's say, for argument's sake, that these idiots are right. How are you going to start sneezing out of your nose?
I'm going to try next time. I'm going to, I feel a sneeze coming on. I'm sure. Going to actively try to sneeze.
Do it in private.
Out of my nose.
Yeah, because I don't want to know what happens when that, you know.
But I have to tell you what happens. I mean,
well, sure.
Research.
I don't need. I just don't need to watch or hear or see any of that.
This reminds me of the Seinfeld episode with Good Naked and Bad Naked. Wasn't sneezing one of them?
Sneezing is one of them. Yeah.
Bad
sneezing,
naked,
coughing,
right?
All the muscles.
Because of all the mini muscles that convulse.
Like when the fat guy gets hit by the cannonball in slow motion.
Trying to suppress a sneeze will give you a brain aneurysm. That from Stevie in the 414.
Seems bad.
Stevie, not a doctor.
Seems
but
bad.
Which of these three Packers-related bets would you put your money on? Jordan Love MVP, Packers win the North, Packers over 9.5 wins. 48% of people are with you, Gabe. They're putting their money on the Packer over 9.5 wins at -134. A $10 bet wins you 17. And which Wisconsin athlete is more likable, Giannis or Willy Adames? You know what? We'll get to those poll results tomorrow.
Oh, wait for it to go final before we declare a winner. I see.
We'll do the couches next on ESPN Milwaukee.